We went on another field trip this week in San Diego, meeting up with 80-something Jack Bransford outside Ramona. He's with a group called Quail Forever. It used to be Quail Unlimited.
Morning.
We were going off-road in search of guzzlers, man-made underground cisterns built in the 1950s to bring water to animals as water was increasingly being diverted elsewhere, forcing animals to cross highways or climb canals in search of it. With the drought, Jack and his friend Joe said they felt an urgency to find the now crumbling cisterns and repair them.
We're going to show you a guzzler site. I'm not sure which one we're going to. We have maps, old hand-drawn primitive maps that list all of them that we don't share with the public. Okay, we use those maps to find the guzzlers, to inventory them. Fortunately, a few of them are on public land. We've worked out arrangements with the governmental bureaucracies that administer them, administer those lands, so that we can do what we're doing today.
And Joe, you've been doing this too for a long time. Is it fair to say decades?
Yes. Yeah.
Is this one you've not seen before?
No, I've not seen this one before.
Wow, so you're still coming across...
Well, there's 385 of them, supposedly, in San Diego County. How many of them are still operating, we don't know.
So, how are you feeling about our hosts so far? Especially if you're an animal lover. They seem to be. They're bringing water to animals. And listen to what happens when a coyote crosses our path.
Nina.
Oh, coyote. Oh, my gosh.
I just
saw him bounding across the... We're in an open space now.
Did you see that?
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But see, we saw it in a different way, did we? Okay, that's a big hint. Joe and Jack are saving animals, and they are also hunters, quail hunters.
Joe, did you know that Robin is an avid hunter?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, her favorite gun is a 20-gauge over and under. She's an accomplished shot.
Joe, Jack and I had a long conversation last night. I'm an avid hunter of clams.
Clams.
In that late-night phone call, Jack said he didn't want us to come on this trip, that non-hunters just wouldn't understand how hunters could also see themselves as stewards. But he graciously invited us and now makes his case.
This place has a lot of coyotes. We ascribe to the theory that predators need not be eliminated, but they need to be managed in terms of keeping a healthy balance between the predators and the those that they predate on.
What you just outlined is the basic debate between hunters and animal rights activists.
Yes.
Who takes better care, truly, of the animals?
That's correct. And when we say things like, but we're conservationists, we do so-and-so, they impugn our motivation. Yeah, you just do it to kill them. But this small group of people has done more this last year than most of these national anti-organizations have done to preserve wildlife, period. They'd almost rather see them die of thirst than have people like us go out and preserve or provide water sources, because they'll say something like, but all you want to do is to have more of them so you can hunt them. Well, that's probably true. But I certainly don't want to kill every one of them or even try to kill every one of them. Like that coyote, I liked just watching that coyote bounding across there. Some of my most pleasant days have been spent observing with binoculars coyotes doing what they call mousing. I like to watch things like that. I also shoot coyotes. Okay, well, I think we're here now.
To be continued.
Oh.
You can pull back up after I go down there, Dennis, if you want.
Other members of Jack's group, Quail Forever, are already on a bluff above the guzzler. Dennis Richards unloads gear.
We've got a lot of heavy equipment, a generator and four or five bags of mortar and ferroseal that we use to seal it up, and we got to get all that equipment down there.
David Preedy eyeballs the 30 by 20-foot apron of an old, cracked concrete slab below with an opening like a curbside storm drain in one corner.
That's the guzzler. And you see that little hump? That's the mouth of the guzzler. Down inside there, there's a cistern that'll hold up to like 800 gallons of water. So when it rains, the water falls on the apron and it just runs down and fills that cistern. And then there's like a 25-degree slope or ramp to the bottom of that cistern so the animals can go down through that opening and walk down to the water. There's no moving parts, so the simplicity is actually kind of exquisite.
Why cover it?
That reduces the amount of evaporation and algae and other growth, so it helps conserve the water. There's a couple that we're still trying to figure out how we can get to them to work on them. I'm toying with the idea of trying to get some pack animals to help us get equipment in there.
Now be careful with these little thorny things here.
We make our way down the bluff. Jack sees that the Guzzler's creators have left their mark.
Guys put their footprints there. They've got their dates.
Well, it says R32, built in June of 1950. We are
finished.
Finished.
They start to work, digging away dirt and swatting away criticism of their work, that, for instance, it's interfering with nature.
There's just no denying, especially if you look at it in terms of like global warming, the effect of mankind on the environment. And so this is just a small counterbalance.
Generators fire, power tools rev up to clean out the cracks so they can be filled with cement and sealed. Again, David Preedy, who sees himself as a conservationist.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Along the lines of Teddy Roosevelt. Nobody loves the wildlife more than the ethical hunter, and that's why I do this. I don't know that you'd call this fun. This is definitely work, but it is an act of love is basically what it is.
Dennis Richards has lowered himself through a manhole into the cistern to bail out the little water there is so it can also be repaired. A ways away, Joe goes over those old maps to try to pinpoint which Guzzler this is.
I'm on a mission to GPS all these Guzzlers because right. I was out doing work on this stuff before Quail Unlimited came to be.
And you know, why were you doing it?
You know, I can't tell you. It was a surprise to me. I saw this thing full of weeds, full of cracks, so I started repairing it because I had an idea that there was water in there for quail.
So you've just been fixing them. Now, obviously, everybody's fixing them.
1965.
Yeah? And when you say, you know, you have an attraction for quail, you're a hunter.
I am a hunter. I've raised them in my backyard when I was a little boy.
How do you explain to people?
I don't know.
You don't know. That you love them and that you can also hunt them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you raise chickens and you like chickens and you eat chickens.
Without these cisterns, what do you think would happen to the wildlife population?
They'd have a very difficult time.
What do you say to people who say that guzzlers might also, though, attract predators, mountain lions?
They do. It does. Yeah. But the amount that a predator consumes is very small compared to what a drought would do. By doing what we're doing, we're saving a whole lot.
Fish and wildlife official Jason Price, who's authorized this project and works alongside the Quail Forever volunteers, agrees.
This water source benefits all wildlife, not just game animals. So the argument that it's only here to help out the hunting community is actually false.
That way I'm not getting a full brunt.
Let me come over.
Okay.
There's one last concern, Jack and Joe, that this then just creates a trap, literally, for animals that gathers them at a watering hole and hunters can just, it's like fish in a barrel. Some of the people you don't want to find this place are hunters.
No. Some of the people who are self-identified as hunters, but they don't meet the specifications that we use for hunters. They'll come here and prop themselves on the guzzler. Everything that comes, they'll take care of it. That's unsporting, it's counterproductive, and they'll do it until there's no more animals in the area.
What's it like when it's finished?
It's a sensation of having accomplished something. You can nibble at different definitions, but it's like putting something back, putting back more than you take out.
And then when I come back and I see animals utilizing this work that we've done, it makes me feel very good.
Even though, as you well know, and you know it, you usually jump to say it before I do, even though you know, someone will say, that doesn't make sense. How can you save animals? You're nodding to shoot them.
that we're hypocrites, right? Jack and I have not shot a quail or shot at a quail in over 2 years. And the reason why is because we know they're struggling to exist.